Thanks for checking out Lincoln Way Christian Church's podcast. And don't forget to also check out www.lincolnway.org for more information about Lincoln Way Christian Church. Now let's get right to it and listen to Pastor Jeff as he brings today's message.
There's a news article from a Springfield, Massachusetts paper. And it says this: is arranged marriage or an ancient tradition in India? But when the Belchertown family went to meet the bride-to-be, they judged her too ugly for the groom. And as a matter of fact, what happened is that the family went over to India to find out, to check out this new bride for their son. And she said, she's just too ugly. Just plain too ugly. And so this Indian family decided to settle things the way any good American would do. They sued. They sued the family of this niece for $200,000 on all the expenses and the emotional trauma because she was one ugly bride. Isn't that cold? I mean, when you get that is just plain cold, 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 cold. This is how it says, they were extremely shocked to find out she was ugly with protruding bad teeth and couldn't speak English to hold a conversation. And so they rejected her. When we think of a bride coming around the corner and walking down the aisle, we expect to see a beautiful bride. The bride will come around the corner and she has never and probably will never look so good as she does on that day. Max Lucado tells a story from ages past about a stately prince and a peasant girl who fell in love. He writes, this really was a difficult one to understand. On the one hand, there's the prince who literally had the world at his disposal. There was never been a more perfect specimen of a man that had ever lived. Nothing about him was common. You wouldn't be exaggerating to say that he was a perfect catch. On the other hand, there was a peasant girl. She is nothing more than average. At her best, she was plain. At her worst, she can be called just plain ugly. There are times when she is cranky and moody, and she rarely ever achieves all she could. To look in her eyes, at her from anyone else's eyes, you would never believe she was worth much. But if you could see her through the eyes of the prince, you would believe that she is to die for. Now, this sounds like a fairy tale to you and to me, but this story about the prince and the peasant bride is true. It's not a fable. It's not a medieval tale. It's a story about anyone else at all. But it's a story about you and me and our relationship with the Prince of Peace. For see, you and I are the bride of Christ. Now, I know for us guys, it's a little bit of a stretch. If you can just sort of erase the gender issue, I just want you to grab a hold of that just a little bit, that you are the bride of Christ. And often when we think of a bride, we think of a bride who comes down in her dress and she looks so beautiful. And this happens to be my wife's dress for our wedding. And we did what every good couple does. We stuffed it in a bag and put it in a box and it got all wrinkly. And I just said, hang it up the way it is. Hang it up all wrinkly. Because you know what? The bride of Christ is a wrinkled up bride. And so, as we think about the bride of Christ, sometimes the bride of Christ is an ugly bride. Nothing is more emotional about how we see something if we have been hurt by a church in the past, or if we've seen somebody that we love dearly be hurt by a church. Hurt by its leaders or its pastors. Why do you think this is? I think it all comes down to expectations. We think the church ought to be different than. They ought to do a better job than. They ought to be more sensitive to than. We expect more from Kids City teachers than we do a soccer coach. We expect them to act a different way. We expect more from the president of the baseball association. We expect less from him than we do the pastor here at the church because there's a different set of expectations. I expect the small group teacher to act differently, to remember my son's name after being there 10 weeks. Other expectations may be really unrealistic. Some people think that if they want something from the church should know about it before the church even knows about it. I don't know how many times I've been expected to be at a hospital call when I never knew that the person was in the hospital. Just never knew. And so the expectation, you know, that God did not grant to me or to our elders or to anyone else here in this church the gift of knowing something that's going on that we don't know about. I mean, we just don't have that gift. Sometimes we think that the pastor should always be at their crisis and never anyone else. Sometimes we think that the minister should never misspeak or never get angry or never make a mistake. No matter what, the church is an ugly bride. So how do we need to look at Christ's church? How do we need to view it? I believe if we can view it from the eyes of Christ. One of the main metaphors that God uses for his people is that of the bride. He has used an entire book, the book of Hosea, to describe his relationship with the people of Israel. He uses it to describe how the struggle that God had with his bride, because his bride Israel was an ugly bride, just like his church is. The prophet Isaiah, speaking to Judah, said this: "The bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." God uses that metaphor time and time again. And Jesus picks up this metaphor in his teaching when he speaks about the bridegroom waiting for his bride. And when he speaks about the 10 virgins, he uses this. And then Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, where he addresses wives and husbands, he sees the special relationship between Christ and his church. And I want us to look at that passage. Now, typically, whenever we do this passage, we look at it from the husband and wife viewpoint. We're not going to look at it from that point. We're going to look at it from the church and his bride viewpoint. So I want you to walk with me through this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, starting there. It says, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." What we see here is that Christ is the Lord, or the head of the church, right? Then that's what it says there. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." Christ is also the Savior. Christ is the Savior of the church. He is the one who saves it. And why does he need to save it? Because when Christ sees a church, he sees a bride that's sinful. Jesus sees a bride that's sinful. And the reason that the church needs a Savior is because we're sinners. And we need the grace of God. We need the forgiveness of God. We need the saving power of God in our lives. And when Jesus sees his church, he sees a sinful people. But that's not all he sees. Let's look down at verse 25 and following. It says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." You see how Christ loves the church? "To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless." Not only is Jesus the Lord of the church, he loves the church not because it is beautiful, but rather because it is not beautiful. He loves because he loves. Christ's bride is not all cleaned up and pretty, is it? Because it needs cleaned. Because Jesus sees his bride as messy. It's a messy church. He uses two words to describe it. He says, first of all, it's stained. Now, stained, you know, the juice has been spilled on the dress. It's a stained church. Stained from the outside world. That's what that idea is. That when we get stained, we're stained from the outside. The world comes in and stains the church and influences the church. And the church is seduced by the culture in which we live in. But he also uses this word wrinkled. That the church is wrinkled. Now, we don't like to think of brides as wrinkled. You know? Because wrinkled means that actually within the cells themselves, they're deteriorating. That within internally, there's deterioration that is happening into the cells, and that's what causes the wrinkles. There's not as much that collagen stuff or whatever you have to buy to make yourself look the way so that you don't look so wrinkly, right? And it gets all wrinkled up. The bride is wrinkled up. The beautiful bride is messed up and wrinkled up from the interior of the soul because it's made up of people who have a sinful nature. And when Jesus sees his messy bride, he realizes that he needs to clean her up. And so he cleans her up through the washing of the water through his word. And that's why the word is so important. God's word is so important because he uses that to clean you and me up, to take out the wrinkles in our dress. He uses his word to transform us. See, God's word is powerful. Jesus says about his word, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And that's why we emphasize God's word. Let's look on and see how else Christ sees his bride. He says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. When we look at that passage, we see some interesting things up there on the screen. It says there, he says, he loves his own body. Because see, another metaphor that's used about Christ's people is that of the body, his body. And that there's a oneness between Christ and his church. There's a oneness. Just as one flesh happens between a husband and wife, so does it. There is a oneness between Christ and his church. There is a unity that happens. And God, Jesus, when he sees his bride, that needs to be fed and cared for. He sees a body that a bride that is hungry and needy. It is a bride that needs to be loved and to be cherished. It is a bride that is hungry for something more out of life. It is a bride that is needy for the care of the prince. When a husband and wife come together, they become one. You know, that's a little hard for us to understand that Christ and his church, that there's a oneness there, that there's a unity between Christ and his church. And so too often what we end up doing is saying things like, well, I really like Jesus. It's just the church I don't like. That would be like for me to say, you know what? I love you, but I just can't stand your bride. Can you imagine that? I love you, but you know what? Your body really stinks. Ooh, wouldn't that bother us? Wouldn't that cut to our who we are? See, as we look at Jesus's, as Jesus sees his body, as he sees Christ's church, what does he see? He sees a bride that is messy. He sees a bride that is unclean. He sees a bride that is hungry and needy. But Jesus sees as an ugly bride. But Jesus loves his ugly bride. He sees a bride that's ugly. He sees a bride that's messed up. He sees a bride that typically goes its own way. And yet Jesus loves his ugly bride. Now, how does he love his bride? He gives himself up. He sacrifices. He's a sacrificing love for his bride. He gives himself up for his bride. That's how much he loves his church. That's how much God loves her, is that he is willing to die for you and for me. That's a sacrificial love. It's a sanctifying love. It's a love that says, you know what? I'm going to clean her up. I'm going to wash her up. I'm going to make her clean. I'm going to invest in her to make her the best bride that she possibly can be. I'm going to work on her and help her to be the very, very best she can be. And then he's going to feed her, and he gives a love that is a nurturing love, a love that cares for and feeds and nourishes and cherishes his bride and takes care of his bride. And that's how Jesus looks at his bride. He sees an ugly bride, yes, but he loves his ugly bride. He invests in his ugly bride. He sanctifies, saves, and he feeds his ugly bride. Why? Why does he do that? Because he loves her. It's not the value of the loved or the beloved. It's the value of the lover. It's the value of the lover. There's an old story. I don't know whether it's true or not. It's just it's an old story about families out in Kenya. And what they would do is that they would purchase their brides. And in Kenya, if you know anything about Kenya, the way they keep their economy is by cows, cattle. And so this one man decided he wanted to buy a bride. It's just the way they did it. You know, you might not like it, but that's just the way it is. And so he picked out a bride. And this bride was a plain bride. She was homely looking. She would be considered an ugly bride. But because he valued her, as a matter of fact, the father, they began negotiation and says, well, if you want my daughter as your bride here, how about two cows? He's hoping to get one. Because she's a homely bride. She's not very pretty. She's just sort of regular. And the young man says, no, 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 no. I will give you 10. I will give you 10 cows for your daughter. And she became known as the 10-cow wife. And as time went on, because she was so treasured, so loved, so cared for by this man, and put such high value on her, guess what? Life began to transform her. Time went on, and she became known as the most beautiful bride because of the value that the husband placed on his bride. See, throughout these series, we've talked about life change principle. And life change principle usually goes like this, exactly like this. When you see Christ's bride as he sees Christ's bride, then you'll love Christ's bride as he loves his bride. But you know what? I after I sent this thing in and had it all put on slides, I realized I was wrong. For see, when you love Christ's bride the way Christ loves his bride, then you'll see Christ's bride the way Christ sees his bride. For see, you'll be able to look past its ugliness. You'll be able to look past your hurts. You'll be able to look past your difficulties. Why? Because you've invested love. Because you're a person who decides, you know what? I'm going to help save Christ's church. I'm going to join Jesus in his venture of saving. I'm going to give my life for this people. I'm going to sanctify it. I'm going to do what I can to cooperate with God's Holy Spirit to clean us up and to make us holy. I'm going to nurture and feed this thing. And you know what? The more you love it, the more you invest in it, the more you care for it, the more beautiful that bride will become to you. Over the past few weeks, we've looking at things through Christ and God's viewpoint. Is that whenever we would see as God sees, we'll do as God says. That whenever we see the lost, as God sees the lost people will matter to us the way they matter to God. That whenever we see the lonely, that we will incorporate them into small groups and into a loving community. Whenever we see that, we will love them the way Christ loves his church. Whenever we see people in need, we would serve them. There's a passage in Revelation that talks about Christ's bride. He says, "Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." See, Christ looks forward to his bride coming in all of its beauty, in all of its wonder, all of her wonder. See, Jesus turns it around. Jesus would say, when you love my bride the way, with a sacrificing love, you will see that her sins are washed away. And when you love my bride with a sanctifying love, you will see the radiance of my bride. And when you love my bride with a nurturing love, you will see her beauty. See, when you love my bride the way I love my bride, you'll see my bride the way I see my bride.
For more information about our church, children's ministry programs, and student ministry programs, check out www.lincolnway.org.